your home for the Devil's Advocates.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
On The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK. Devil's Advocates.
Weekday afternoons from 4.
Hey, what's up now?
Brother, what's up?
This is a big party, man.
Yeah, brother, like, stop. Right on.
Good morning and welcome to a very special edition of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. And we are honored and privileged to have on the line Mr. Jamie Harrison. He is the chairman of the National Democratic Party. Good morning to you, sir. How are you doing?
Good morning. Good morning. I'm doing well and hope you're doing well also.
Well, absolutely. To what do we owe this honor with you joining us this morning?
Well, you know, Milwaukee and Wisconsin is at the center of the political universe right now. You've got Republicans here for their first presidential debate. And I wanted to make sure, as the head of the Democratic Party, that we came, that we were here also, so that as the lies are told on the stage tonight, that we can make sure the American people are truly getting the truth.
You know, it's kind of bittersweet. A couple of years ago, you know, the Democratic Party was scheduled to have their convention here, and unfortunately, COVID interfered. And how long have you been in Milwaukee?
So I've been in Milwaukee for a few days now. Yesterday, I got an opportunity to really go across the state. I did an event at UW with some students, did a black engagement event here in Milwaukee. I was in Waukesha County to do a women's roundtable. I'll be with some union members later on today here in Milwaukee as well. So we're meeting with grassroots community activists and leaders who make up the coalition that got Joe Biden and Kamala Harris elected to the White House. And this is going to be the coalition of folks who will support them and get them reelected once again.
You know, as a citizen, just watching everything that's going on, you know, as 2024 elections kick off with this debate, this evening, it's hard for me to imagine as a non-Republican that what they are offering is anything that makes any sense whatsoever. You watch what's taking place in the work that has been done with the Democratic Party and Joe Biden, and you look at who they're offering up, and you don't see, I don't see any way possible that, you know, this should even be a race.
No, it really shouldn't, because ultimately, you know, this election is going to come down to this. It's hope versus fear. It's unity versus division. It's chaos, you know, versus progress. We've been able to make some progress in this country under Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. And when you look at what we've been able to do and the hand that we were dealt when we got into the White House, remember, we're just coming off of January 6th. And we like nothing we've ever seen in this country since the American Revolution, the Civil War. Then you have COVID on top of that. But Joe Biden and Kamala Harris rolled up their sleeves to get stuff done for the American people. And Republicans have been hell-bent on rolling back all of the freedoms and the rights that we've gained over these last 50, 60 years in this country. Take away woman's right to control her own body. They don't believe in diversity, equity, inclusion. Want to gut Medicare and Social Security. We see they got one guy on the stage tonight who believes that we should move the voting age from 18 to 25 years old. Some of them even love Putin. Just think about it. Ronald Reagan's party, right, is now also the Putin-loving party. I mean, this is who we have on the Republican Party. They're extreme. All of the apples in that bag are rotten. regardless of it's Donald Trump or DeSantis or Rick Scott, I mean, or Tim Scott or Nikki Haley, all of them are rotten. And when you get rotten fruit, you you take it back to the store and
get your money back. If you're just joining us, I am joined by Mr. Jamie Harrison. He is the chair of the National Democratic Party. He's in town this morning and this afternoon, and certainly going to be going to many different events. I'm honored to have him on the line. But as a soon-to-be 70-year-old man, I have to tell you, sir, that I have never seen anything like what is happening in this country and what Donald Trump represents, and the fact that the Republican Party has decided that law and order, the thing that they claim to be, their honor, is the worst that I've ever seen, and it shouldn't even be a race, but unfortunately it is. There are people who have bought into these things that these people are saying, and nothing that I hear them say on the right from any of them stands to benefit the American people.
No, you're solid and right on point on that. Nothing, because it's all about their own power. You know, remember, Republicans in 2020 didn't even pass a platform. As a party, you pass a platform so that the American people know what are the issues that you're fighting for, what are the issues that you stand on. They, for the first time in the history of their party, of any party in this country, they did not pass a platform. So they don't care about the issues. They don't. All they want is power, and for power's sake. Not that they actually use it to benefit working people in this country. I mean, you think about, just take example of what President Biden has been able to do, even on student loans. You know, he had a grand plan for what he wanted to do. The Republicans didn't want to do that, even though they got all the PPP loans, Republican members of Congress, and didn't pay them back. But they didn't want working people to get any student loan relief. They took the president all the way up to the Supreme Court. This right-wing Supreme Court then ruled in their favor. But President Biden didn't stop when they got that ruling. Just this past week, he used his executive authority to change some of the requirements and was able to waive student loan debt for over 800,000 people. And that's the type of president that we had. Yeah, he may get a roadblock that may pop up, an obstacle that pops up, but he doesn't stop. He's going to find some way around it, because ultimately he's trying to improve the life of the American people, while the Republicans, they simply just want to get back into power.
So, listen, I know we only got you for a couple of minutes, but I will ask you again, as a longtime voter, as a supporter of the Democratic Party, when you hear the things about Joe Biden and the Democratic Party not echoing the great things that they have done under the Biden presidency and the impact that they've had bringing us out in and out of COVID, and yet they're not, you know, blowing their whistle enough. You say what to that?
Well, one of the things is every single day, I know the president, every member of the administration, and I know myself in the Democratic Party, we are trying to make sure that we're getting on TV, that we're doing events across the country so that people understand what we have been able to do and accomplish and achieve in this country over the past few years. I mean, when you look at the stack of accomplishments, probably not since Lyndon Baines Johnson have you had an administration that has produced as much positive legislation on behalf of the American people. Now, one of the things that we don't have is the Republicans have networks that are an extension of the RNC. The Democrats, we don't have that. So we can't get that unearned positive feedback constantly. But just this week, the president said, we're going to put $25 million to make sure that we're running ads so that people know that those roads are being built, those lead pipes that are being ripped up, the internet that is now going into some of our communities. Who actually made that happen? It was Joe Biden and the Democrats in the House and the Senate that got it done. So we're going to be relentless in terms of making sure that in terms of events, calling the Republicans out for trying to take credit for stuff that Democrats did, but also making sure that the American people know why things are getting better in this country and who was responsible for that. And that's our goal and our mission over the course of the next few months as we move into this next election.
And the last thing I would ask you, sir, motivating, organizing people to vote. Clearly there are people, some people who are frustrated. It's a difficult time, even in the positive things that are going on. It's still a difficult time. What do you say to people who say voting hasn't changed anything for me, but I need things to change?
Well, listen, I can understand the frustrations at times. Listen, I grew up poor on welfare and food stamps, got Medicaid. Yes. And so I understand how that is. And I think many of us understand how that is. But the thing that we also have to understand is that we can never give up. We have to be relentless. We have to make sure that we are just as focused and vigilant in terms of protecting our freedoms and our rights and our democracies and the things that we need as the other side is in terms of taking those things back. It took Republicans 50 years to get rid of Roe versus Wade, which is something that was high on their priority list, to take away women's rights to control their own bodies so that politicians could make those decisions. We have to be just as focused and relentless in terms of fighting back to make sure that those freedoms that we've gained, the rights that we all have and we enjoy, that we can keep them, that the quality of life is improved. And so, Dr. King has this this quote that I often use from a letter from a Birmingham jail where he said, "We will repent in this generation, not merely for the hateful words and actions of the bad people, but for the appalling silence of the good people." It's time for the good people of this nation, of the state, of the Milwaukee listening area to stand up, to not be silent in the face of the bigotry and the hatred and division that we are seeing in the politics and that's coming from the other side.
I think
that's
very,
the only way.
Very well said, my friend. I look forward to meeting you this evening. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right, Jamie Harrison, chairman of the National Democratic Party. Up next, Mandela Barnes will be joining us. It's a very special edition of the Earl Ingram Show this morning at No Studios, sponsored by SEIU. We'll be right back.
With Pat Kreitlow.
I have Corrine Hendrickson, part of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed group.
The Joint Finance Committee, again in the middle of the night, took that out and said, well, hey, you have all this money coming from the federal government. Why don't you use that to create this program? Well, guess what? We proved it worked. Wages went up $2 an hour. There actually are a couple extra childcare businesses open now than there were about a year ago, and that's going to stop. Just Monday, we lost two.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8, on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
You are never far away from your favorite local radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app, and we invite you to get social with us by following our network's Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook pages. Want even more? CivicMedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. An excessive heat warning begins at 10 a.m. this morning and continues until 7 p.m. tomorrow evening. Partly cloudy skies today, with daytime highs approaching 98.
All right, welcome back to a very special edition of the Earl Ingram Show at No Studios, sponsored by SEIU. And I want to welcome back to the airways a great friend and just a great fighter, for democratic principles. Mr. Mandela Barnes, he is the president of Power to the Polls. Good morning to you, my friend. How are you doing?
Good morning. I can't thank you enough for having me back on. It's always a good time to be here joining with you, especially when we get a chance to talk in person.
You know, man, you could have moved anywhere after the Senate. Your run for the Senate. Why'd you stay in Milwaukee?
Oh, why not? You know, why not stay here in Milwaukee? The reality is, worked too hard just to walk away. And there were too many people who invested in me, too many people who gave me space, people like yourself. And for me to just have an election that didn't go my way and decide to just leave, that would be, you know, kind of selfish in my opinion. And, you know, look, for some people, that's what they need to do to get away from it all. And I understand that. But we've been at this for way too long.
Right.
You know, ran for office first 11 years ago. And for me to just feel like, you know, I had this tough break in November and it's time to just give up. That's just not the case.
Man, we are thankful that you are still here, still in the fight. And so let's talk about today. Let's talk about what you're doing today.
Yeah, so today, starting out my day with you.
No. So, I mean, when I say today, you are the president of Power to the Polls.
Yep, president of Power to the Polls, Wisconsin.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Yep, so Power to the Polls, Wisconsin is an organization, is a labor faith, civil rights coalition to turn out voters. I mean, that's what it comes down to. We need to make sure that we are showing up to the polls in large numbers. But the thing about turning out voters, so many other models just rely on simply knocking on doors and say, hey, come out to vote for this person. We want to do thorough year-round sustained and prolonged engagement with people. We want to show up and have conversations when there's not a candidate on the ballot, when there's nothing to vote for. We are working to build power in communities, and so people can actually know what's going on, so people can have a real sense of what government is or is not doing for them and who or who isn't fighting for their best interests. So I'm been honored to be a part of this organization since the beginning of the year. The organization started in spring of 22, and we've been able to grow substantially. We've been able to expand from Milwaukee to being able to run a program this past spring in Milwaukee, Racine, and Green Bay. We knocked on 88,000 doors. We had 175 organizers on the ground, and we had deep, meaningful conversations with people, and we look to continue that work this year. We look to show up in just a few weeks. You might see some people from Power to Polls at your door. And we're going to be talking to, I like to say we're operating in the HOV lane. We are, we're going after those high opportunity voters. People call them, you know, fall off voters, unlikely voters. But these are the people who have real concerns in communities. And if folks aren't showing up to vote, we should be cognizant of why that is the case. And not here to say we can solve every problem, every issue. But if we take time to listen to people, to actually share their concerns, and I think that in turn helps them to feel more part of the process, which they've always been a part of. People just don't always realize it.
Let me ask you something, man. You know, there are a lot of young people every year turning voting age, and many who maybe don't even understand the process. Are you reaching out to a lot of them? Because there's so many of them out there.
There's a whole lot of them out there. One thing I will say I am proud of is here in the state, we had the highest youth voter turnout in the entire country. Now, there's still, you know, segments of that youth population that we still need to reach. The people who are still feeling like they're fighting for crumbs, feel like there's very little opportunity for them, feel like there's so much holding them back. I mean, it's not that they're just feeling that way. That is the reality for far too many people. We acknowledge that reality. And that's why, as a reminder to people, you know, I always say voting is the first step. That's the first thing you have to do. It's about staying involved, staying engaged. Just as organizing doesn't mean knocking on doors and walking away. A person shouldn't go vote and then just walk away from the process. You need to pay attention to what your elected leaders are doing. If the person that you didn't want to win happened to win an election, you need to still fight and hold that person accountable. If the person you wanted to win, you shouldn't just assume that everything is going to go according to plan. You should show up and either support that elected official when they're running up against tough times or hold that elected official accountable if they disappoint you.
So let's talk about this event today, man, and SEIU and the fact that you're buttressing up against the Republican debate. Let's talk a little bit about how that came to be and why that's so important.
Yeah, so Republicans are coming to town once, and they'll be back here next year again. And
so why did they come to Milwaukee?
Because Wisconsin is a critical state. Wisconsin is a key state, and we know, or they know, we all know that turnout in Milwaukee will oftentimes dictate the direction of a statewide election. They know how important this state is, so they are showing up to try to chip away votes. Because, look, what you're going to hear from them is more of the same, more of what we've always heard from them, and that is restricting access, restricting freedoms, banning books, banning abortion, trying to make it harder for people to vote, and just a lot of rhetoric that seeks to divide this state, divide this country. And SEIU, which I'm so proud to partner with.
Local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Welcome back to a very special edition of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. We are at No Studios, and my guest is Mandela Barnes. He's the president of Power to the Polls. And this special edition of the Earl Ingram Show is sponsored by SEIU. So Mandela, the Republicans are here. And whether or not Donald Trump, there's a big debate about whether or not Donald Trump should be here, as if, you know, the Earth is going to, you know, fall out of orbit, whether or not he's here or not. And your thoughts on just the I was thinking about the people that they're having debate.
Yeah.
I'm going to watch it because I, you know, this is what I do. But there's nothing I'm expecting to hear from any of the candidates.
Well, that's the thing. You're not going to hear any new ideas. And whether Donald Trump is there or not there, his spirit is still going to be there. These are a bunch of MAGA wannabe extremists. Like, these are people who are trying to fill some void in Donald Trump's absence. Like, everybody is really auditioning for a fill-in role. You know, they're auditioning to be the understudy. That's what this is about right now, because the whole dynamic does, of course, change if he's present. But what we're going to hear on the stage is the same things that we would hear from a Donald Trump in absentia, right? Like, this is a group of people who is going to try their best to appeal to a small sliver of the electorate, and a small sliver that, you know, responds, unfortunately, to coded language, and times when it's not even coded, right? Like, outright divisive stuff. You look at what these people are saying, what they're campaigning on, which isn't much. All they can do is try to divide the country in hopes to, you know, and helps to pull off some sort of upset.
It's unfortunate that they have done a good job of dividing the country. And when you say that one of the main planks that you have is culture wars, I mean, come on, man. You shouldn't even, it shouldn't even be a race. If that's the best you can do, and I often tell my listeners and challenge them to tell me one thing that the Republican Party has done for them, either on the state level or on the national level, to change their lives, they can't ever point anything out.
You can't point anything out, and there won't be anything to point out. It's all lip service. People are struggling in real time. They're getting lip service from Republicans, and things continue to get worse. And the bad part about it, or like the more troubling part about it, is we see it happening.
Yeah.
Like, this stuff is very visual, but these aren't people who care to share the experiences of the American people, so they'll never actually know what's going on in real-world America.
You know, real-world America is people who are doing the things that we've asked them to do all the time work. People work every day in this society and don't make enough to keep a roof over their heads or feed their families. These are the things that Joe Biden and the Democrats have been talking about, and not just talking about, but delivering on. You know, I hear the pushback constantly about the money that was wasted on infrastructure, and I have to always remind Republicans, you guys voted for the infrastructure. It was not just something that he did, but it's been beneficial because in your cities and towns, you see these changes.
Well, the thing about that, too, the infrastructure money isn't even all out the door. It hasn't even really been spent. And in Wisconsin, no Republicans voted for it. But they're going to take credit when those projects pop up in the district, when those bridges start to get rebuilt, when those roads start to get rebuilt, when infrastructure like, you know, water pipes in communities starts to be constructed and replaced. Then, of course, then they're going to want to take credit. When broadband is expanded in rural communities across Wisconsin, I can guarantee you at some big announcements or ribbon cutting ceremonies, you will see Republicans showing up for a piece of for a project funded by a piece of legislation they did not vote on, which speaks to the hypocrisy that they carry with them everywhere they go anyway.
Yeah, so let's talk a little bit about, you know, you've got a pack that you created called the Long Run Pack. Let's talk about the impetus for doing that.
Yep, so I started the Long Run earlier this year, shortly after the conclusion of the campaign. We did a lot of valuable organizing. We did a lot of coalition building, and we want to keep that momentum up. We want to keep that energy going because it didn't make sense for it to live and breathe with a campaign cycle. We want to make sure that we can be in a position to support candidates all across the country who are in similar situations, candidates who oftentimes get counted out but are in battleground key races that could ultimately change the trajectory of this country for the better. And these are candidates who sometimes don't get the upfront support, as I mentioned, and we want to be able to help them out. We want to help them out with strategy, also call attention to some of these races as well.
You know, man, you know, I have to say, and because I only have for a couple more minutes, your thoughts, man. The Republican debates are here in Milwaukee today. The 2024 Republican convention is in Milwaukee. But state Republicans say Milwaukee is the worst place to be. It's you know, it's a hellhole. But the national Republicans are showing something. Who's right? Well, it can't be both.
I'm old enough to remember, you know, candidates campaigning saying you don't want the rest of the state to look like Milwaukee.
Right.
And now they're bringing their convention to Milwaukee. The reality is this is a fantastic place, and I'm proud to call home. Couldn't be more proud to be from here, still be here, and do work here day in and day out. You're going to have people on that stage who bemoan, who begrudge cities like Milwaukee all across the country without doing a single thing to help those communities. That's the real problem here. That's where I take the biggest issue, because for every complaint, you know, when I was in the legislature, for every complaint that any of my colleagues on the other side of the aisle had about this city or others like it, they never had one real solution. Everything we talked about, the people who actually represent the city, is as if our opinions and voices were dismissed in the legislature. It is all about trying to be as sensational as possible. It is all about creating an us versus them scenario, and that's what they thrive at.
So let's talk about the SEIU rally that I'm going to be at.
I will be there.
And really excited about it.
It's going to be warm.
Yeah. we're going to be in a nice air-conditioned place, right? Is it going to be warm in more ways than one?
Well, I'll tell you, it's going to be hot outside. It's going to be a whole lot of hot air in that room where the debate is taking place.
So let's talk about why, you know, who dreamt up that idea and why it's important that happens.
Well, we got to push back. you know, again, these are people who are going to take the stage. It's not a who's who. It's more of a who is that that's going to be on the stage.
All right.
And, you know, they, because of their lower tier status as candidates, are going to be saying some incendiary things. And it's important that the voice of the people is actually out there being heard. True American experiences are on display. And that is what SEIU is doing. That's why I'm so proud to be out there joining them, not letting these false narratives, not letting this divisive rhetoric win the day. We're showing up and we're showing what it looks like when people can truly come together from all backgrounds, from all walks of life, different professions, race, religion, creed, whatever you have, right? Like, we're showing up on a united front, showing what the true beauty of this country could be and showing the true promise of opportunity.
Can you take a phone call or two?
Oh, man.
No, it's okay. You don't have to. Well, let me do this. Let me say this, man, because I know you got to run. SEIU and what it stands for in unions, I'm a union guy. I always tell people I know the power of the union. I spent 34 years as a union worker. Your dad, union man. And when I was a young man, 25-30% of this nation was unionized. And we were able to live middle-class lifestyles and do great things without college degrees. The importance of unions today.
I'll tell you, the importance of unions cannot be understated. You see workers standing up in a variety of sectors that wouldn't have even thought about organizing a decade or two ago. Also sectors that we wouldn't have even imagined decades ago, right?
Right.
But people are standing up for a better quality of life. And it's no secret that the middle class built this country. It's also no secret that the unions built the middle class. And with the attacks on unions all across this country, we have seen come with that a decline in the middle class. And if the middle class is suffering, this country is going to have hell to pay. And what is going on now is workers in factories, people, you know, working in the gig economy are stepping up, demanding more, but also winning. You know, the Teamsters has had an incredible victory with UPS.
UPS, and no
that,
question.
That Teamsters victory shows what's possible for working people all across this country. I hope that it is a signal to people who are looking to organize that they do deserve more, they are worth more, and they can get more if they stand up and fight
man,
for it.
Man, I got to tell you. I haven't been in the union for 20 some odd years, but I got excited when the Teamsters won, mm-hmm. right? Because when they win, mm-hmm. we all win.
We all win.
Right? We all win. And that includes the person working at McDonald's mm-hmm. or Pick and Save or wherever it is. Until unions bring back the power that they had when I was a young man and when your dad was a young man and we were able to get the best out of this nation, until that comes back, it's going to continue to be a struggle. United we stand, divided we all fall, and unions certainly play a major role. And that's why I'm so excited SEIU is still fighting that battle.
Yeah, same here. I'm excited that they are fighting that battle, and I'm excited to be in this fight with them.
All right, Mandel, I want to thank you very much.
I appreciate you.
For coming, man. And I'll see you tonight.
We'll see you tonight.
All right. That's Mandela Barnes. He is the president of the Power to the Polls and the founder of the Long Run Pack. All right. We'll see you later, my friend. But, you know, I want to say again about unions and SEIU and what they stand for and the kind of work that they do and have done and continue to do. People can say whatever it is they want to say. And I remember pushback that I would often get from people who would say unions are for people, you know, who can't stand on their own two feet. I remember towards the end of my time in Smith Steelworkers, 1986, there were younger people who came into our union, and they didn't understand the power of the union. And I remember pushing back and trying to get them to understand what it was. I remember as a 18-year-old snotty-nosed kid walking into A. O. Smith and joining the union and not understanding the power of it and having people, tell me what in my generation, what the history of the union was. And it took some time for us to understand exactly what that was. It took some time for me to understand it. But I wound up later on, towards the end of my 34 years at Smith Steelworkers 1906, I found myself doing exactly what the older gentlemen were doing to me when I came into the plant. And that's trying to explain and educate people of the power of the unions. And here it is, 2023, and we're still trying to educate people on the power of unions and what that means. We've got to go to a break. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation. You're tuned into a very special edition of the Earl Ingram Show. We're at No Studios, beautiful, beautiful No Studios, and we are sponsored by SEIU. We'll be right back.
Winds 10 to 15.
My man Calvin playing some solid music. Welcome back to a very special edition of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. We are here at No Studios via SEIU, a very special edition of the Earl Ingram Show, as a big day planned here at No Studios. After the show, around 3 o'clock to 7 o'clock this evening, there's going to be a very special rally that is going to be taking place here. And I want to welcome back to the airways a very special woman who I had an opportunity to interview a while back, and her spirit stuck with me as I've talked about her on my show on numerous times, Miss Audrey Taylor. Good morning to you, Miss Taylor. How are you?
Good morning, sir. How are you?
I am on cloud nine, and I'm back in your presence.
Oh, bless your heart.
Let me briefly let people know who you are. You're a very, very special woman.
Thank
who
you.
Represents tens of thousands of people, and maybe hundreds of thousands of people, who work in service industry,
mm-hmm.
and but who don't do what you did. You spent over 30 years,
yes, sir,
in the service industry.
Correct.
And did you receive? Do you receive a pension?
No.
You don't receive a pension.
No, sir.
You. How long is the longest you worked at one particular place?
I've been with one industry. I started in 95 there. I left for a moment. My oldest son became ill. I had to leave, take care of him. And he wound up passing in 2006, I'm sorry. And left Milwaukee for a little while to get my head together. And I moved back in 2013, and I've been back here ever since.
So I remember the conversation we had before,
mm-hmm.
and it was heartbreaking to me that you had worked all these years and did everything that people asked us to do.
Mm-hmm.
Go to work. You didn't sit around and wait for somebody to give you something.
No.
You have pride and self-respect, and so you've worked all of these years,
mm-hmm.
and you told me you were once a manager of one of the fast food restaurants.
Correct.
And But you spent 30 years in that line of business. Why?
Because I love the people. I love dealing with people. I'm a people person. There's no, I don't care if your race, your creed, your color. I'm a person that loves to take care of people.
But it's not just that. What's important about it is you've done all those things. You could take care of people in other areas.
Mm-hmm.
But what's the most, what is the pay scale?
When I first started off, I was only making $8.45 an hour. That was back in 95. Now I'm at $12 an hour, and it's 2023.
95. I mean, that's what, 28 years.
Mm-hmm.
You started at $8.
45 cents
an hour. And 45 cents an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And 23 years later, you're at $12 and what?
$12.
$12. Mm-hmm. And let me say this to you, the listening audience, and all of you who call me, I hear people call me at times and say, well, those jobs in those service areas are for children and they're starting jobs. There are not a lot of children doing the jobs that you are doing, right?
No, sir. They're like they're scared to work. It take people like myself and other people to get the job done. We can't wait for young people to come in and do the work. We, at the way we are now, being 60 and over, we're supposed to be able to retire, but how can we? We're not, it's no money really out there, so we have to continue to work in order to pay bills and take care of our family.
So whatever happened to the 15-hour?
We're still working on that as
that's
well.
That's still a battle?
Yes, sir, because I'm also with the Fight for 15, and we were just in Washington about almost a month ago, and we're saying 15 is not enough. Now we're trying to kick it up to 17.
Well, yeah, $15, it is still unimaginable to me. $15 is still a poverty wage.
Correct.
And well, clearly you must have the best benefits in the world. You must have all kind of vacations and
no, sir.
And bonuses and all those things.
No, whenever I feel that I need to have a mental day, I'll take off. Or doctor's appointments of that nature, I'll take off. But other than that.
So you're a part-time worker?
Correct.
Full-time workers don't get benefits either, do
no,
they?
No, sir.
You know,
you have to be a manager.
You have to be a manager. And I'll tell you something. Our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789, you know, because I often get calls from people who say that the businesses can't afford to pay you guys any more money.
That's what they say.
I know that's what they say. Mm-hmm. But, you know, people need to understand you guys aren't unionized.
No.
Has there been an effort to bring unions into this?
No, sir.
Yours?
No, sir.
You don't know why?
I don't know why.
Okay. I'm going to find out. I'm just find out what that is and why. Because if ever there was a place that there needed to be unions. It's in the fast food area. Mm-hmm. And so because it shows why it's so important to organize.
Yes.
and have people, because the sheer numbers of you that work in those areas deserve that.
Correct.
You know.
Yes, sir. And that's why I'm here today, speaking on behalf of all restaurants and caretakers, just people, laborers in general, that we need to have a union set in place at all areas.
So I got to get people to understand this. When I was in the union, you know, back, you know, when they still had stagecoaches and not cars, you know, listen, we've got to go to a break. When we come back, I'll tell you that story.
Okay.
Of my time in the union and why it's so critically important now and why it would benefit all these different sectors if there were more unions. Got to go to a break. My guest is Audrey Taylor. It's a very special edition of the Earl Ingram Show, sponsored by SEIU at the beautiful No Studios. You can join the conversation, 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.